This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Yeah, I'm looking for a Dutch boy to plug this hole in the dam.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic. How about you, Chuck?
I'm still working on it. No, I'm doing great, too. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Either way, we appreciate you giving us your time.
Now, this is part two in our series of the Hoover Dam. So if you didn't hear part one, go back just a little bit farther. Okay, a little bit more. There you go. And on our website or in your podcatching client, and listen to the cool stuff you missed.
In this episode, we go along with our tour guide, Charlie Harrington, inside the dam.
Yeah, and if you find yourself a little lost in the narration or lack thereof...
Hey.
Chuck gets a little distracted in some places and forgets to tell you, the listener, what's going on and what he sees. You know, that's always a hard thing to keep up with. So if you can, I recommend going to our Flickr site and looking at some of the awesome photos that I posted myself, and I'll have those up.
Okay. I admit, this wasn't my best narration at times. It was just a cool place and really easy to get distracted. There's got to be a new term out there, like PADD, Podcaster Attention Deficit Disorder.
Or pod-stracted.
Fortunately, Charlie does a good job keeping us on track. And Craig's right, though. The pictures do help.
Yeah. No. Now, before we get started, don't forget... You know, we're running a contest.
We're giving away a DVD set of the series When We Left Earth from the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, and you can tell we've already left Earth, lost our minds. But this is a great series of the past 50 years or so. I saw this on television myself. It's awesome. And what it took to actually get into space.
If you want to enter, just send an email to contest@chuckchat.com before midnight, October 31st, 2008. Put Earth in the subject and your mailing or shipping address in the body.
Yeah, and if you don't put your address in there, we'll make one up and we'll send it somewhere else. And the only address I know is mine.
Why am I not surprised? I suppose it's sewn on the inside of your jacket or something.
Actually, it's written with a Sharpie on my label right here.
He's got it on his mixer.
Yeah, my mixer.
You ready to get started?
Yes, I am.
Let's relive the awesomeness that is Hoover Dam. The first concrete was placed into the dam on June 6, 1933. Since no structure of the magnitude of the Hoover Dam had been constructed, many of the procedures used in the construction of the dam were untried. Since concrete heats up and contracts as it cures, uneven cooling and contraction of the concrete posed a serious problem. The Bureau of Reclamation Engineers calculated that if the dam were built in a single, continuous pour, the concrete would have taken 125 years to cool to ambient temperature. The resulting stresses would have caused the dam to crack and crumble. To solve this problem, the dam was built in a series of interlocking trapezoidal columns. Each pour was no more than 6 inches deep. Because of the depth, it is extremely unlikely that the construction workers were accidentally buried alive in the concrete, contrary to popular folklore. To further cool the concrete, each form contained cooling coils of 1-inch thin-walled steel pipe. River water was circulated through the pipes to help dissipate the heat from the curing concrete. After this, chilled water from the refrigeration plant on the lower cofferdam was circulated through the coils to further cool the concrete. After each layer had sufficiently cooled, the cooling coils were cut off and pressure grouted by pneumatic grout guns. The concrete is still cooling and gaining in strength as time goes on. Our tour with Charlie continues as he takes us inside the dam, where very few people go. We start in the nicely decorated areas for the public, then make our way into the service tunnels, where the decor of concrete walls, floors, and ceilings is somewhat more Spartan than the inlaid terrazzo and tile. Still, it is much nicer than the rough, blasted rock walls of the diversion tunnels.
Look at the design. Maybe all the Art Deco on the floor and little brass inlays, diamonds on the...
Yeah, around those. All the gates. They planned this for tourism.
And you feel the air coming through this rolled aluminum vented door here.
There's a fan inside. There's 2 miles of tunnels that are in the dam, and this fans circulate the air through. So there is no air conditioning. It's all cool air being pushed through. Now, we're going to level four, and I know there's a tour up there, so we're going to go to the opposite side. So we'll just kind of stay out of their way.
You think that Touchtone phone is original equipment, Craig?
Yeah. I picture the cord swinging one side.
Well, the way that it's wired, I don't think it's original equipment. Yeah. But notice how the cord matches the tile so nicely.
Is that decode?
Are you going to drill a hole in a dam?
A little warm.
So we're going from elevation 705 in this tunnel up to 975, you said?
To 975 to level 4. Top of the dam is 1230 elevation.
Oh, we are far down.
These are the original Otis elevators.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they are.
Original digital readouts. All this is...
I was going to say.
He got you again, buddy.
You know, I know I've seen a lot of Otis elevators, but I don't know about this one.
If it was the original, it'd have the cage, and you'd have the guy in here working with you.
Well, the new one at the Visitor Center is in Montgomery. It's not Otis. Ooh. The Visitor Center, but this is the old Otis.
So are the escalators going up and down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm the only one who notices escalators. I said, this is not an Otis. It's not a Schindler. It's a Montgomery. They thought I was whacked.
You guys should start a website.
We did.
Hey, we're good. They're over there, so we're fine. Come on out.
That is a solid sounding elevator.
Now we're gonna go. We're gonna go out. Now remember, we're looking at the vent. This is the vent.
Oh.
Level four. Notice how warm it is. These
this
vents
is,
are here to ventilate the tunnels.
What was the Harrison Ford movie?
Fugitive.
Yeah.
This no. Isn't... Okay. This is what it looks like, though.
We get that question a lot. This is the movie? No, this is not the dam he jumped out of. That was a different one. All right. Let's walk out to the vent, guys, and take a look around.
All right. We're going through a 6-foot diameter. I know it's 6 feet because it's about to hit me in the head. Crouch ever so slightly, looking up... Oh, that's a light. Circular tube.
Walk out to the vent, look around...
Now there's a cutaway. Watch your feet too. There's a trip area.
For visitors.
That's right.
No terrazzo, no tile. This is called an inspection tunnel. And we're going to see some of the marks where they've inspected it back from 1942. Cracks. Turn the light on there, guys. It gives a good, better view.
There we go. We're looking down another 6-foot tunnel. Yeah, that helped. Donna's trying to cross this grate and got freaked.
Vertical shaft is just inspect, just doesn't go anywhere, tunnel to nowhere.
And they had to build that while they were pouring this.
Oh, yeah. This was formed outside and put inside to pour concrete around it.
Oh, okay.
This is in two sections. You can see it, this section.
Laid in later.
It's a great view from here, guys. Come out and look around.
Charlie, I know there are these cutouts out here.
I see someone with a small camera. Let me give you a... If you put your camera through the vent, face it towards you.
Can you?
And all you have to do is tilt it. All you have to do is tilt it just a tad, and you're getting a picture of from here up to the top. Guys, don't drop that.
Charlie, what is this little cutaway down by our feet?
There's two cutouts here, and they used to have fans in here that would take the air in. Circulate it through, and since they were no longer used, they took the fans out.
Okay, makes sense.
Oh. Now, can you put your hand through there and open it?
This is quite the operation. Craig's got my camcorder on the end of a little stick so he can film into the video camera, into the vent.
If you tilt it up a little, you're going to get the upside of the damn. I've seen photos they've taken on those little digital. Oh, it's a tremendous picture.
To say I'm a little nervous would be an understatement about my camcorder.
Tilt it up
a
little
bit. Oh, it's your camcorder, not his.
Yeah, that's mine.
That's why he was so comfortable with it.
Yeah, because...
No, I'm uncomfortable with it, because when it goes out, I'm just thinking, I'm never going to put your bag in to pay back.
That's the way we geeks get our free upgrades. Well, not free. Hand your camcorder to a friend. Is there any problem with moisture or anything in here?
No, this is the desert. Not very much moisture at all.
Humidity. Smile, everybody. Hey there.
A little bit of rain that we do get, you can see it will drain
it
right
back.
It'll
just drain in now. Sure.
This is nice. It's nice.
Take a picture of
them. You guys are good? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Watch your step.
Yeah, kind of watch your step when you
pull back, right? Chuck didn't really get by the window.
That's all.
Hey, you want to
I'm in charge of audio.
He's in charge of audio.
That is a little unnerving walking over that. 180 feet down, you said?
100 feet down.
100 feet down. And what is down there? There's another tunnel.
Somebody's dropped. No, it stops. It's dead end.
Oh, it is.
So they just walk through and walk down and check the...
check for cracks?
Concrete, yeah.
And people have been dropping pennies down.
Yeah, I can see some
coins. It's a dead end, though. It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere.
Sounds like another source of revenue. You could turn this into a wishing well.
If you want to switch the light off, we'll continue on out.
But you think these are inspection tunnels. They never planned on doing visitor tours in here. And I think it's great that they've opened this up. This was only started October last year.
Oh, really?
This area here, yeah. Because our power plant below, we used to be able to go out by the river.
Uh-huh.
That area is still closed since 9/11. So this is sort of an additional area. I think it's great.
I see fiber optic patch panel down here. What could that possibly be going to?
Now we have earthquake sensors, and this is housing the earthquake sensor wiring. You have cable, you have telephone wiring, electrical wiring.
Fire alarm.
Telephone wires through. Let's go to the right here. Now we're walking back towards the visitor center.
Okay.
Okay.
I know it sounds kind of crazy, but you could have a fire down here with all that water behind you.
Right here. See a mark, they've highlighted this with the crack that they've monitored, and there's a date that it was measured and monitored, 6/15/42, just the crack.
There's a hairline crack in the dam.
So you can see they used to do the tunnel monitoring every month, but they rarely do the monitoring now. I'm not sure the frequency.
There's all kinds of notes and things scratched on the wall.
This is joints where the sections here together.
Now these sections are what?
We're walking through 60-foot sections.
A 60-foot
section?
That's
the largest.
Okay.
The smallest is 25.
There's another
and
joint.
And you can see they're numbered, alphabetical number.
P0. Or P-O. Oh, okay, P-O. And the joints, because they're staggered, don't constitute a risk?
See, that's QP. No.
Okay.
Earthquake sensor.
Oh, wow. Who's monitoring that? The USGS?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure who's monitoring.
Do not touch or kick earthquake sensor. Marv, yeah, get a picture of that, will you?
This is a nice picture site here.
Oh, you know what this reminds me of? Inside the Great Pyramid, there's a stair. It wasn't originally. They call it the gallery, and it kind of ascends at this angle.
Well, this area here is called the seepage gallery, and this is where the water that seeps through the dam from the pressure comes through. And there's pipes. You can see pipes on the side all the way down that collect the water. Very little seepage here because the level of the lake is down. But you can actually hear it to my left, water going in. But there's 257 feet from here to the top, and there's an entrance from the top of the dam for the stairs, and 744. If you look down, watch your helmet. You see the hats down there. People are looking down, losing their hats. But this is called a seepage gallery, and it's called seepage. The dam seeps about 250 gallons a minute, and we don't use the L word here at the dam. It's seepage. Seepage.
Controlled and monitored. Are these seepage pipes in any way related to the original piping they put in to help chill?
No. Cool? Okay. Separate. The cooling pipes are still inside the concrete because once the 72-hour period of cooling with the water running through those pipes was over, they took the water out of the pipes, filled the pipes with grout, capped those pipes, and they become part of that form.
So they're solid. They're not hollow.
They're solid, okay. And they're not connecting each other, just the form. So it becomes part of the concrete.
So in a way, it's sort of a, well, it's not really a rebar, but it
no,
is.
No, it's not.
It's, and it's not in, in.
Really, it's just part of it. It doesn't add any strength to the form. So this is our dam tour, and they love it. They've had, they can only do 20 people because of the size of the elevator. And they're almost always sold out. Good idea to come early if you're trying to get one of those. Now you were talking about this. They put a wire across this taut. If the wire loops any, then it means it's coming in.
Yeah.
If it's tight, then it's expanding. So that's one way of checking the movement of the dam with the sections. The side on the left is for the water seepage. If we had water seeping, it would run into the river.
Sort of a built-in gutter in this tunnel.
This is Richie Kohler from Deep Sea Detectives, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
The initial plans for the finished facade of both the dam and the power plant consisted of a simple, unadorned wall of concrete topped with a Gothic-inspired balustrade and a powerhouse that looked like little more than an industrial warehouse. This initial design was criticized by many as being too plain and unremarkable for a project of such immense scale, so Los Angeles-based architect Gordon B. Kaufman was brought in to redesign the exteriors. Kaufman greatly streamlined the buildings and applied an elegant Art Deco style to the entire project, and sculptured turrets rising seamlessly from the dam face and clock faces on the intake towers set for Nevada and Arizona time, in the Pacific and Mountain time zones respectively. We leave level 4 as Charlie takes us to the top of the dam.
I love that elevator door sound. It's probably driving somebody crazy, but...
We're coming. The time takes a stop.
That's right. Our timing has been great because there's probably a group down there waiting, so that's fine. They'll be...
It's fascinating.
They'll be talking.
And we leave elevation 975. Does this have an official tunnel name or level or anything?
This is...
Level 6.
Level 4.
Level 4.
We're at level 4.
The Chuck Tunnel.
And it's level 5 is just a room, storage area. Level 6 is the top of the dam.
Okay.
Level 3 below us is the same thing you're just walking through. Vents with tunnels going all the way through from one side to the other. Level 2 would be the stairs on the top of the power plant. You look at the top of the power plant below, you're seeing the stairways. That's the stairs from level 2, and level 1 is where we started.
I think you ought to institute a new level of creativity. You know, call that the Charlie level.
Charlie level.
Then people would say, I'm going to Charlie. You know, it almost sounds...
When they take the photos and they come upstairs on the exhibits and look at the photo, the tunnel on the left that they were standing in, they could refer to as Charlie's tunnel. So.
There you go.
I'm always, come outside, you guys. We'll send you down nice and cool.
Now we're back to another terrazzo inlaid floor.
This is the top of the dam.
We are at the top of the dam.
And I'm just going to wait here. Look at the doors.
Oh, they're nice.
You can see
brass, copper.
The Art Deco, they're copper. the flooring here, the marble walls. This is the original 1937 tour route.
I feel like I'm in a bank.
And when we go outside, it's going to be about 110 maybe.
Get ready.
Just come on out.
What is that, like 40-something in Celsius? Trying to help out our international listeners. And we're right outside. We're on the dam. There's the roadway in front of us. Now, these doors, those inside ones are copper. These look like they're brass.
Yes. This is all original. They just, you see, they do a great job.
I love that eagle on the copper door.
Yeah.
It's very 30s.
There's a lot of intricate things. Like, this is the symbol of a cactus.
What do we got? We got a post.
What do you think this is?
Chain holder.
That is a tortoise.
Oh, is it? Oh,
head
okay.
of a tortoise. So it's little art pieces here. I mean, these are all original.
And we now have an official chained off area. The posts are just
and you'll see
brass and copper.
Located throughout. So ticket booths in between the elevators is where the old tours were. You bought your ticket, you parked. Actually, we're able to park on the top of the dam in the early years. You waited in line up here. Think of this, 115, 120 degrees. You're waiting for an elevator that takes 20 people.
And that was until what year?
1995, when the visitor center was built.
Well, I'm glad we didn't come here before we had kids.
Another rafting tour.
And where do they go from here? They're starting just below.
They go down 11 miles to Willow Beach.
Okay.
And they take them out. Now, they do the ones on the raft do a halfway stop for lunch. And they'll do a package lunch for them. They'll bring them out of Willow Beach and bring them back over to the starting zone. No white water. Right. It's very smooth. Yeah, the Colorado River here has been pretty well tamed since we dammed it up.
We'll have to do that next time, guys.
All right, so you're on the top of the dam. You can see the lakeside plaque is the dividing line between the two states, Arizona, Nevada. The center of the river divides it. They've done a lot of movies here. Transformers was the last movie that they shot out here.
We were going to ask where the AllSpark was hidden, but figured it's gone.
That's a security issue. I have to take you to
security. No, second question you're not supposed to ask.
The interview stops here.
You see the buoys on the lake. The boaters aren't allowed to come inside that, but this is all recreation area out there.
Is that's because they get too close to the intakes, or?
Well, it's security. They don't want anyone coming into the towers.
Okay,
But before our security of 9/11, you were able to boat up to here, dock your boat, get out, come and do your tour, take off. It's all open.
And I'll bet in 83, when the water was nice and high, that was
a beautiful sight in 83.
We'll still be under the thing for a minute. 83.
Okay, from here. Now, there's a lot of information on the top of the dam. For instance, how the power's allotted, the spillways, capacities. This is all original here. This is the engineer, six companies.
Yeah.
Here's your six companies that got the contract, their officers. The plaque on the in honor of President Hoover here, 31st President. That was done in 1947. Congress passed a resolution naming it Hoover Dam because it had a name of Boulder Dam, Hoover Dam, and the correlation back and forth was sort of mixed. And 1947, this is 2 years after Roosevelt had died, Congress passed a resolution naming it officially Hoover Dam, even though it was original Hoover Dam when they started building because Hoover was the president.
Right.
He lost the election to Roosevelt, and Roosevelt dedicated this dam in 1935 as Boulder Dam. Didn't think that Hoover deserved the name of the largest dam in the world. So it's now Hoover Dam.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Of course, that Republican-Democrat thing doesn't go today.
No problem there.
That's the other constant in the universe, politics. Yeah.
Okay, you have the intake towers. You notice the times on the towers, they're the same. even though we're different time zones, because Arizona never goes on daylight savings time, and we are on it now. So when we're on daylight savings time, the time will be the same. So we come off of November, it'll be an hour difference. The old Spillway House was here temporarily when they were building the tour center, and that was a temporary structure. So they closed it down, and it'll eventually be removed. But this is a historic area here, and you can't add a building to it. So that was done just for the building of the tour center. Let's go into the exhibit area over there.
All right.
Okay. Wonderful.
They had, I thought they had a vehicle on one of these two structures here.
Heading out to the towers. It may have been a service vehicle, pickup truck or something backed up onto it.
Well, yeah, the trucks can go out. They have the workers that can take trucks out in there, but they got it closed off for the public.
So the public is not allowed onto the intake towers?
We used to do tours a little different where the guide would do a talk at the intake tower and the group would come out and listen to it. Talk.
Okay.
But you may have heard the recording. They have it on the CD now, the recording.
Oh, okay.
We're basically doing tours inside now rather than doing locations outside. Which I'm glad we did, because standing out here in 120-degree temperature talking.
What is this room? We've got a tower across the way. We've crossed over to the Mead Lakeside, but on the...
This tower?
Yeah.
Men's restroom.
Wow, that's a pretty big... It looks like a huge mausoleum for a restroom.
Restroom's above.
The restroom's above.
And you can walk in there. It's beautiful marble wall. Beautiful.
Take a look at that. Same kind of interior as we saw at the elevator?
Yeah, it's got terrazzo. You can see the kids are looking inside there. Stairs go up to the restroom. This is the men's room. The other one on the other side is the lake.
That's where it is. Okay.
Now you see the lady and the gentleman with the camera and the blue hat or the black hat?
Yes.
That's where the stairs come out that we were looking at.
Okay.
Down below.
Yes, that's the seepage way.
That's the entrance right there.
Is it protected by a grating or a manhole?
Well,
or?
It's got a gate there. And
okay.
It goes, you can see the chain link gate. They also have another door further down.
There was a lot to think about when they built this.
Oh.
Are there any elements that they forgot about that came up later that needed retrofitting or an oops moment, aside from the tourism growing?
You know, I can't think of any engineering change. That they had a few minor changes when they were building it, but I'm not sure of those. How you doing? Those problems. So
okay.
On the Nevada side, there's a museum and exhibit room. We took a break from the heat to take a look around. Always full of facts, Charlie, well known and liked by all the other employees we encountered, took us in.
Linda?
No.
Oh, okay, I was going to say she's directly next door.
Is she here?
In the restroom.
The guys, come on in.
Come on in.
Hi. This is Holly. She's manning our exhibit room.
Womanese.
Look at the size of the flag on this photograph hanging over the face of the dam.
Yeah, that's 200 by 250 by 500 feet. That was done just for the Olympic torch to be ran when the runner was going over to L.A. for the Olympics. And this was done, this was 1990s.
Oh, 90s, okay.
Yeah, that was just for the, they did that for one day just for the torch.
Wow.
The runner went over.
Do you know where that flag's at now?
We rented that. It was a contractor deal where they,
Perkins.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they got it. I wanted to show you, oh, here we go. I love this. This is our spillways being used.
In 83. We'll
show you the picture down below. This is 1983, spillways. These are intake towers, what little you can see of them.
And you said it's 60 feet lower right now?
62.
62 feet below that. That's amazing.
The spillway?
Yeah, this is the Arizona side, because the road goes over it over there, and it goes underneath it is the spillway. But this one right here, you can walk back to the left to see the spillway here if you're interested in seeing it.
Now there's probably trees growing up down there.
Moving from the exhibit room to the museum, we were presented with several rows of what would best be described as old wooden seats from a lecture hall, with seats that folded up like a movie theater today, but far less comfortable. Once seated, we were given a presentation with a 30-foot model of the entire Colorado River system in front of us.
By this great river system, the Colorado, for centuries, was one of the world's wildest rivers. Melting snow in the mountains each spring swelled the river's flow, transforming it into a raging torrent. Time and again, the low, flat valleys in Arizona and Southern California were flooded. Then, as the river receded, millions of tons of topsoil were deposited on the land, creating fertile deltas as rich as anywhere on Earth. Early settlers, recognizing the fertility of the soil, irrigated the valleys directly from the river.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
After the presentation was over, we went up to the model for a closer look. Charlie noted some of the more interesting facts, but first, I had a question about the venue. Why haven't the old wooden seats in the museum been updated?
46, because in World War II, some of the soldiers were actually that did patrolling here were barracks.
Oh, really?
So this is an old historic exhibit building, and they cannot, they've tried to renovate it, but the National Historic Society said no. It's the same seats. It's interesting.
Oh, that's neat, though. It keeps that historic flavor.
Yes, and there's our dam. You can see Glen Canyon we talked about is up here. And it's the Grand Canyon. In 63, the Glen Canyon has Lake Powell behind it.
Yep.
So we dammed that up, 63, and Lake Mead backing up here. There's six dams above us and below us, so the river's pretty well, so to speak, dammed up.
You're going to need to update this as soon as your bridge is done by the Hoover Dam.
Davis.
Yep. And Davis is an earthen dam. That's interesting.
Parker is where Lake Havasu... They get the water out of Lake Havasu for the Colorado River Aqueduct, taking water into L.A. So you can see it's pumped up two stages here. So Parker Dam was the next dam built after Hoover Dam to provide water to California. And then you got the other small dams. And right in here, you're looking at the reason they built the dam in the first place. Provide fertile farmland water. All-American Canal, the Imperial Dam. This was all part of the Boulder Canyon project, which included Hoover Dam. The Imperial Dam was built. You see they're taking the water out for the All-American Canal, all of Imperial Valley. Then you have Mexico getting a portion of the water, too.
By the time it gets to Mexico, it's like all thinned out.
Well, it
is.
It doesn't go into the sea. It used to, but...
It used to be a big... tributary system.
Now, the Salton Sea that you're seeing here was actually just a sink until 1905. They talked about the flooding in 1905 where it came over its banks, run back, because that's lower there, filling in the Salton Sea. It took them a year and a half to get the river back into its banks from the flooding. Flooded all the farming areas there, so that was the impetus to, hey, you got to control it or not farm here.
To divert the river's flow around the construction site, four diversion tunnels were driven through the canyon walls, two on the Nevada side and two on the Arizona side. These tunnels were 56 feet in diameter. Their combined length was nearly 16,000 feet, or more than 3 miles. Tunneling began at the lower portals of the Nevada tunnels in May 1931. Shortly afterwards, work began on two similar tunnels in the Arizona Canyon Wall. In March 1932, work began on lining the tunnels with concrete. First, the base, or invert, was poured. Gantry cranes running on rails through the entire length for each tunnel were used to place the concrete.
The sidewalls were poured next. Movable sections of steel forms were used for the sidewalls. Finally, using pneumatic guns, the overheads were filled in. The concrete lining is 3 feet thick, reducing the finished tunnel to a diameter of 50 feet. Following the completion of the dam, the entrances to the outer diversion tunnels were sealed at the opening and halfway through the tunnels with large concrete plugs. The downstream halves of the tunnels following the inner plugs are now the main bodies of the spillway tunnels. The spillways can be seen directly above the outer diversion tunnels. They drop sharply from their entrance point and merge directly into the old diversion tunnels. The two inner diversion tunnels have two concrete plugs in them. One is roughly halfway along their length, and the other around 75% of the way through their length. The section sandwiched between the two concrete plugs is used as part of the tunnel which water travels along to journey from the outermost intake towers and the generators. The two innermost intake towers have separate tunnels. After enjoying our time in the museum, we head back out into the heat to look at the scenery, marvel at the dramatic water level changes, and are surprised at what we find in the spillways. It is a bit warm.
Yes.
But the humidity is low. That's a good thing, right?
But it's dry.
It's a dry heat. I don't care. It's still hot.
Yeah, it's hot.
You stick your head in an oven, it doesn't matter if there's a pan of water in there or not.
This is all employee parking here. But it used to be open because we didn't have the visitor center or parking garage, so the buses actually pull back in here and park.
Now, notice there's currently no large truck or bus traffic allowed over the dam.
Well, they stipulate commercial traffic, but you'll see some large vehicles crossing that are carrying rock.
Okay.
Rock hauling vehicles are a special permitted, and they're allowed to cross. But all other commercial traffic has to take another, it'd be Highway 95 down to Laughlin.
Why is that?
It's all for security. They want to inspect everything crossing, so the RVs crossing will have to stop at our security check stop, and they'll go through them, check it. Anything that, any vehicle that they think is something they can't see, they'll pull them over at the check stop and go through it.
What are these little critters we see running around? They look like little chipmunks.
Antelope ground squirrels. They're everywhere. They love this heat.
Are they edible?
I think if I was in the desert and eating something to eat, I might. They'd probably be pretty good.
We got a closed-off walkway over there. Look at this. We're looking down into the spillway, which starts a few hundred feet to our right.
Yeah, it's 650 feet long. So you have a 50-foot tunnel going down, connecting to the original diversion tunnel.
That's one of the original
plugged. Back that direction.
Yep.
And that plug sounds simple, but it's a 400 foot concrete plug.
How do you make that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then again, you look around here, how do you make any of this?
Yeah. And you hear a little bit of the water. You can walk down this way, guys.
Water? Where's the water around here?
Seeps through sometimes.
Okay.
You'll actually hear it.
I hear it.
Yeah.
What do you hear? A little bit of seepage.
You gotta lean over a little bit.
A microphone's picking it up.
Yeah.
So there is seepage in the spillway tunnels right now.
Yeah, because you have a lot of pressure. You know, you're not that far from the lake. So
water seeps. As we pass between many parked cars. These are all the employee cars.
Yeah.
Okay. And right on the other side of this small parking lot is Lake Mead. Helicopter tours are a constant thing. Now, we saw how far downstream they cleared the rock. How far upstream did they have to clear the rock?
Well, they didn't clear any of this. All they did was cut in on the canyon walls on each side for the towers.
Okay.
Okay. And that's it. Because when you're looking at the original river up from the observation deck, that's what you were seeing here, but the river would be between the towers.
This
would all be canyon.
Gotcha.
And then they cut back on the sides. Now they had to cut back on this side for the low mix power plant. Low mix concrete plant was down here.
I see.
I thought you could see the marina, but it's hard to see from here.
There's a marina at the base of the spillway. Oh, sure enough.
It's dry right now.
Well, I was gonna say the docks would have to be floating so they could move. I see a boat and a dock. Oh my goodness, there is nothing. It's see, it road.
It was up to here. You can see the white line. This is where it was. And it's low. And that floating keeps going further.
It was right up to a few feet below our feet.
Right up in here, yeah.
And now there's
some
scrub
grass.
Well, you
think of 7 feet from the top of the dam. You see that really dark line?
Yep, that's it.
That's it. Oh, yeah.
See, on the other side, over by the visitor area, would make a nice cliff diving competition. It's a pretty sheer cliff, and you've got...
I'm not sure how much depth they have at the bottom of that.
Well, it's a canyon, right? It does. Yeah. Well, eventually it does.
Yeah, it's going out.
Okay. That one, maybe when the water gets a little
higher.
Maybe
when it was flooding, it was
Well, then you wouldn't have as far to dive.
But it's amazing. All of this would be underwater. I mean,
yeah, this whole sidewalk we see in front of us. And
you see the spillway over there, going into the spillway. You can really
see it
there.
It was feet above the spillway rim.
Well, the spillways, you see in between the towers?
Yes.
There's 100 foot between their gates. They're called their spillway gates. They come up, and that gives us 16 more feet of water. So they're 16 foot high. And the spillway is actually 27 feet from the top of the dam. So with you adding 16 feet of gate, giving us 60 more feet of water, and the water in 1983 was 4 feet above that 16, that's 20, and that leaves you 7 feet from the top of the dam for the 62 days.
So it's as high as it'll ever get.
Yeah. Now, the water's actually higher than this, but it didn't stay there long enough, soaking in to leave the white. Because you're talking years and years of 25 years ago when it was up there.
We could sell some of those rocks, souvenirs. Just trying to get you a revenue stream here, Charlie. After hours, you come and buy your car, pick up a few rocks, make your own gift shop over in Boulder City.
One of the great sights I had here was one evening about 5 when we were closing. We're coming to our parking garage. And you'll see signs says, you know, caution bighorn sheep. Well, I'm wondering why everybody's standing over here looking up. And right there at the concrete structure is a herd of bighorn. Right,
a herd of them.
On the top of it.
A herd of bighorn sheep. We're right up on that concrete that he was pointing out before. Well, remind me again what that was used for?
That was part of the cableway system. See, you can see the concrete over there.
Oh, yeah.
That had the rail for the crane system for the cables. And they stretched all the way across, bringing the concrete sections.
So that would be where they lowered the original buckets of concrete into the dam structure.
Yep. There were six crane systems set up, and there were two here.
Now, some of them would have had to have... The concrete bases are set back from the top of the dam. How did they get the cement to the top of the dam? It's laterally over a good 100 feet or so. Okay.
Road up there.
So as they got to the top, they really didn't need to...
Well, this is all done. I mean, this is all done.
They could drive it there.
Prior to set up the cable systems.
Okay.
But, you know, there's so many little intricate questions. How did they do this? It's just unbelievable how they have this all planned out.
A lot of information
lost.
And it works
so great, you know?
Yeah. And how many of those little decisions and oh, there's a whole bunch of them. Little squirrel things. Sunbathing out here.
Cooling it.
These guys all laying out.
Now they think we're gonna.
I see sunflower seed shells out there. People have been feeding them. Yeah, a lot of knowledge probably was not recorded.
Oh yeah.
As to, you know, the little decisions that they had to be made, and
the guides still have questions that come up that we're not sure of the exact answer, that we're having to research through books to find out exactly what was going on, and some of them are pretty tough. have to do a lot of research.
That was my next question, is what kind of record keeping was done back then that you can go back and refer to?
We have a set of books that were annual books. It's got the dates and what was done on that day, what was completed. So we have them from the 30s all the way back. I'm from 31 all the way current. And some of them are pretty onion leaf, onion page, really brittle.
Very fragile, yeah. Amazing, amazing engineering.
If you've walked by here, where's the rest of our group? Oh, there.
Oh, I'm taking pictures.
Dr. Elwood Mead is who the lake was named after.
Okay.
Okay. He was commissioner of reclamation, died in 1936, and they named the lake after him. But it originally was called Boulder Lake.
Well, that's not very original.
So after he died, and this is a monument for the men that died. And there's some of the awards.
And a 40th anniversary plaque from 1976 with the bicentennial emblem.
Yeah.
I remember all those activities quite vividly.
Oscar Hansen did the monument here. It's called the Wing Figures of the Republic. And it was designed, think of this, you have a federal project, and then you have another federal project building a monument to honor the building of Hoover Dam. That's interesting. You don't see that too often. He includes in his monument, the Wing Figures of the Republic, the terrazzo floor that has a star chart.
I see that.
When you look around, you see there's stars, and these are the stars.
Then we've got
location on the exact day when they dedicated the dam, September 30th, 1935.
Even the position of the moon over there.
President Roosevelt was at the location where our visitor center is sitting when he dedicated Boulder Dam. So you've got the seven states that make up the Colorado River. You've got our eagle here. You got the wing figures on each side, and you're supposed to rub the 10 toes.
I figured this had to be
for good luck in Las Vegas. Oh, you got a specific way there, huh?
Oh, this lady is holding all of her fingers with her thumbs on the big toes. It's hot.
But it's dry hot.
Yeah, right.
Ma'am, where are you from?
Idaho.
Well, then how did you get here if you don't know where you're from?
I drove. I drove to Vegas. Stayed 9 days, and I'm going back today.
Oh, congrats. Wait, and now you're rubbing the toes? You're going home?
I don't gamble.
Safe travels. Well,
but I got a lot of problems at home. I'm
neither do I.
Thank you.
Hey, Craig, did you notice there's this like compass rose inlaid in here with the blue spires that point to the winter and summer solstice, which would be behind this 100-foot edifice of rock behind the statues. Yeah, are you? Craig's getting into this conspiracy theory. He thinks the Masons had something to do with this. They're involved with everything.
Well, there's a small plaque here because this company here, Bartoli,
yes,
reinstalled the terrazzo. So it has been replaced.
Okay.
They intricately took up the old one and replaced it.
When was that done?
That was done in
I don't see a year.
1940, after World War II, 46, I think. But they had the heat during the war. There was no visitation, so it was actually covered in some areas. So they cleaned it off, and they found it had been damaged and buckled up, so they had to redo that.
It's held up fine for the last 60-some-odd years. Just everything. There's gold letters inlaid in here. There's gold piping. I mean, the tiles are a couple feet square, and then every once in a while you come across some stars, and some are labeled and some are not. Just the detail. Somebody had to study everything and where it was.
You gotta burn your hands, just a little luck.
Same lady burning her hands on the other statue. The things people will go for.
Yeah. According to local
folklore, this explains the star chart, and I'd like somebody to explain this to me.
It's a whole paragraph that talks about the parsecs and the magnitudes of the stars. I got about halfway through it. The Cepheid variables. I mean, if you want to learn more about this, I recommend Astronomy Cast.
You're right.
Take a couple of good pictures. Send them to Pamela Gay. She can tell us what it means.
She'll get back to us.
We have friends who can help you with that.
Well, we're going to go down and we'll do the theater, all right?
Okay.
And we'll finish it up, guys. You guys parked up here, right?
Yes. Really appreciate this, Charlie.
You're good. If I'm not doing this, I'm down there doing the tours.
You want the special view.
I enjoy it.
This is Barry McNulty from We Energies. Back to Chuck and Craig at Technorama.
We end our tour where it started, in the visitor center. Charlie explains how the Hoover Dam was the inspiration for other projects that later got the U.S. economy moving out of the Great Depression. He begins by explaining to us some of the materials that were used to build the dam and where they came from.
It's the largest they used. They never use that today. Look at all the aggregate. See how the size is all smooth? All the aggregate came from the river.
River stone, sure enough.
So everything for the concrete came from this site here, except for the Portland cement that they had to bring in. And when we were building the dam, we had almost cornered the market on cement, Portland cement. Such a large project.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the Great Depression? I guess they didn't have a lot of construction going around.
The biggest project going on at that
time. Well, yeah.
When this project was approved, the largest government bid ever put out. $48.8 million was the low bid for this.
Was this before the TVA and a lot of the New Deal programs?
Yes. Now this project was approved in 1928.
Before
29.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was already approved.
Right.
But the object of the government building a project, putting people to work, actually came from that. The TVA and the CCC and the WPA system.
And the PEPSI.
PEPSI. Yeah. Hey, I do the damn tunes.
Oh, sorry.
And guys, you've done everything. Is there anything else you need?
I want to slide down.
Slide down.
Well, they asked now, I see the trucks and the vehicles down there. How do they get down there? I said, well, you see the skid marks on the face of the dam?
Yeah. They shinny down. Charlie, it's been wonderful.
Okay,
thank you
guys,
very much.
There you go.
Very good.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure meeting you.
Okay, guys.
Thank you very much.
You're good.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
That's all we have for the Hoover Dam. Once again, we want to thank Charlie Harrington for taking us around and Elizabeth Young for getting the whole thing set up. We had a great time. Should we tell our faithful listener what we did after the tour?
What do you mean? You didn't record anything at the dam restaurant, did you?
Sorry, no. I thought you would prefer to use the word a few more times.
The word?
The
oh,
word.
Yeah.
The D word.
Well, you know, let me tell you... You know, speaking of the word, we went up to the counter to get our lunch when we were in the damn restaurant. Anyway, so I asked the girl, I wanted the damn dog and the damn drink, you know, for my damn lunch.
All this stuff is like, damn hot dogs, damn ham sandwich.
Yes.
So they didn't have damn ham. I was disappointed.
Damn ham. So what was that? I told her, I said that you needed to put this on a sticker, and she threw the sticker down in front of me and said, I ate the damn dog at the damn at the Hoover Dam.
Very nice. I'm not
Something
sure
like
which of those I'm supposed to bleep out, so I'm not going to do any.
Not going to do any.
If you like Technorama, there are many ways to show your support. Call the listener line at 206-222-2428. That's 206-222-CHAT. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Visit the website, www.chuckchat.com, for all that good information. Or how about a donation in the tip jar? There's one-time or monthly micropayments. Or review on the iTunes Music Store, Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, or any one of those other many things that you see. Check out the Promote Us link. If you're a podcaster, you can also download promos that are available from there. Just go to chuckchat.com/technorama. Look for the Promote Us link on the right side. They're now royalty-free.
Wait a minute. Oh, weren't they always royalty-free?
Shh, it's marketing. Let's That's like saying carrots are now cholesterol free.
Yay. They are.
I'm getting me some.
When that happened.
You can find all the information at chuckchat.com/technorama. Thanks to everyone on the Technorama team for donating their time and talent for keeping Technorama going. And don't forget, this show is a member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great audio content available at Farpoint Media. You can find them and a whole host of other good stuff at farpointmedia.net. If you're getting this show the old-fashioned way by clicking the link on the website, consider subscribing to get the show automatically delivered to you for free. Drop either one of us an email if you'd like to learn more. If you think we're slowing down or slacking off, you would be wrong. So why don't you tell a friend about Technorama? And as always, a binary high five.
101. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what?
Since you're not bleeping anything, I can say stuff like Farfignugan.
What does that have to do with the Hoover Dam?
I don't know. It's like cool like that.